By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Thank you for coming out to the birthday show that I did at the Hollywood Improv. It was very nice of everybody to come out here. I'm only in LA for a few more days and help me celebrate my birthday from the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles, city of the future, city of dreams, and I'll hear nothing to the contrary. And it was very nice. Thank you to Robbie Hoffman, Nikki Glaser, and others who helped me celebrate my birthday. Of course, my birthday and many people's birthdays overshadowed by, what's his name, Brooklyn Beckham's fallout with his family. This has been very difficult for everyone I know. It's been very hard for people to kind of go on about their daily activity, their daily life, kind of knowing how unhappy they all are over there, how everyone's hot and rich and no one's happy. No one has any, they have the same problems as you do, but they're hot and rich, but you know, you're all fat and not rich. I'm not going at you. I'm saying statistically, that's America. That's genuinely America, like on average, statistically. But Brooklyn Beckham and his wife, what's her name? I don't know any of this.
I think it's Nicoletta.
Well, Nicoletta and Brooklyn Beckham, or they're Nicola. Having. Oh, Nicola, Nicola, whatever. They're having problems with David Beckham and Victoria. They're in a feud. So they really, you know, listen, you think just because they're hot and rich that it's all good? No. They have the same problems as you. Shut up about your health care. You shut up about your health care. What do you need? Listen, and by the way, don't think that this will not be a common theme. Like petty family drama, like very wealthy people, they're going to bring out petty family drama and they're trying to invest you in that. And the message is clear. These people are just like you. You get mad, they get mad. You get in a fight with your parents, they get in a fight with their parents. So don't start complaining. Don't start asking for things. Money ain't the answer. They're upset too. I heard this. This was like a big news apparently in the world of celebrity gossip. I don't pay attention to the Beckhams. I don't care about them at all. They're very uninteresting to me. David Beckham, you know, obviously we know who he is. His wife is what? Posh Spice, right? Yes. Yeah, so whatever. Immigrants, right? And I don't pay attention to them because they don't do anything that I, you know, like Harry and Meghan are fun and, you know, they're trying to destroy a monarchy and, you know, destroy the world and everything. And that's interesting to me, a couple who's trying to do that. Say what you will about Harry and Meghan, but they're recreating the death scene that his mother got, you know, she got killed. They're recreating that in Manhattan. And, you know, I like them. But the Beckhams are kind of boring and they don't have anything going on. So let's play the this from E! News. And what are the kids' names again? It's like Cruz Beckham and Brooklyn Beckham and yeah. So here are the here's the E! News. This is the report on the Beckham family. Here we go.
Brooklyn Peltz Beckham steps out with his wife, Nicola Peltz Beckham, amid a rift with his family. 3 days after the estranged son of David Beckham and Victoria Beckham released a lengthy statement addressing his ongoing feud with his family, he was all smiles on a beach date with his wife in Malibu, California. During the January 22nd outing with their dog, Brooklyn sported a brown sweatshirt and black pants and flashed his wedding ring while wrapping his arm around Nicola. For her part, the model donned a white poncho top and blue jeans.
So stupid.
She smiled at her husband and carried her Starbucks coffee. The couple's romantic stroll marks their first public sighting since Brooklyn spoke out against his family and claimed to have been, quote, controlled by my parents for most of my life. 26-year-old said that his mom, Victoria, is not a fan of his relationship with Nicola and repeatedly invited women from his past into their lives in ways that were, quote, clearly.
The mom's probably right. Stop it there. The mom is probably right because I don't know anything about the other woman, but the mom is probably saying, listen, I know the DNA of these people that are going to come and they're going to try to steal your money and they're going to use you for your fame. And the mom probably is correct on that. The mother knows. And this kid probably doesn't like it because, you know, she's got good box, the whatever her name is, Nicola. And the mom's like, listen, we'll get you whores from your past that we'll get you an approved whore that the family approves of. We will get a gold digging whore that the family approves of. We just don't like this one. And he's hitting back going, hey, that's not fair. I get to choose my own gold digging whore. I'm an adult. And the mother goes, listen, we got gold digging whores on speed dial. We can get a gold digging whore here in 5 minutes. The one you have chosen is not, we do not like that particular gold digging whore. And then Brooklyn Beckham probably got upset at that. And you know, the mother's, you know, she's meddling. So she calls him and she goes, hey, I'm in the supermarket. I just bumped into this gold digging whore that I love. And then he's like, stop doing this. I have found my gold-digging whore. Please, Mom. But the point of this whole thing, I guess, is that kids are going no contact from their parents, right? This is something that's happening. David and Victoria Beckham, family drama, pulls in a generation unafraid to go no contact. You know, people are basically giving up on the idea of family, which, by the way, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm saying I'm pro-family. I'm very much that. Not my family, but I'm pro-other people's families. No, I am. I'm pro-families I see when I'm out. I'm pro-them. I'm pro-your family. I like that whole idea. My family, personally, is I'm not super pro them, but the institution of family, and there's people in my family that I'm for, and there's people that I'm not for. I'm not against them, but there are people that we've decided mutually that there's nothing, and nothing is worse than a fake family. You have to be a real family. Or nothing. That's what I think no contact is. I think no contact is people just going, I think we're not going to pretend anymore to do the bullshit. We either love each other and we're an actual family, which again, I am for on the record, or we're this other thing. This thing that's like we feel obligated, but no one likes it, and it's not for anybody, and it doesn't matter, and it's only a few times a year, and we're trying to, like, get out of it. I'm not saying there's not value in a limited relationship with your family, but people are not as into that now. This is something that is happening. You know, people don't seem to be as into, like, and some of it is political. Some of it is political. I said last episode, there are people who like Donald Trump more than their children. There's nothing to be done about that. And there's people that hate Donald Trump more than they love their sister or brother. And that's where we're at in as a country, where people go, yeah, we grew up together. We shared a room for 10 years. You cried on my shoulder when your boyfriend dumped you. You know, we were there together when we found out mom got killed by that drunk driver. But I can't get past your support for tariffs. I can't. I won't. I won't. I won't. Don't you understand? It's a tax paid by the people, whatever it is. There are people who've just decided that their political allegiances mean more to them. They get more happiness out of it. Here's the thing. I could bemoan this. I could say, and I will, that it's a terrible development, right? Like, it's bad. And it is. But, you know, like, it's obvious that you shouldn't care about, like, I don't know, you know, Greenland or something more than your own family. You know, I'm just pulling that out of thin air. But people are not getting as much enjoyment out of their family as they are out of either loving or hating Donald Trump. It's the ultimate drug that people, they will not get reconnecting with their brother and reminiscing about old times. Whatever happened to that bar? Remember you met that crazy chick in that bar? That's not going to do it anymore, because in the middle of that human moment that two human beings are having about a human event that happened a long time ago, one of them is going to look at their phone to just find Donald Trump. It doesn't matter how personal the anecdote is. It doesn't matter how deeply they are trying to connect. It doesn't matter. They could be talking about how mom fought her cancer and she called us into the room. We all held hands. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they love or hate Trump. It doesn't matter. They, in the middle of that, they're going to look at their phone and they're going to find Donald Trump. I'm telling you, it won't matter what they're talking about. The time where you could imagine that happening, like, they're in a tiny house in Pennsylvania. It's not tiny. It's whatever. It's totally respectable size. And it's a suburb and it's autumn and people are finally meeting each other and they're meeting their families. And there's a profound human moment there where, like, people that haven't spoken in a while or just haven't seen each other in a while. And I've been there and I've witnessed this. It's like a profoundly human moment. Kind of awkward in the beginning, few glasses of wine, and, you know, people are trying to steer the ship into neutral waters, and then maybe you have a lot of fun before the end of the night. It's a deeply human ritual that has been done forever. And that now is interrupted. It's inevitably interrupted by people that cannot go more than a few minutes without staring at Donald Trump. It is the only thing our country does now. And there's good reason to do it. And he's off the wall. And some of the things he does are supremely crazy. And other things make sense. And then people treat those things like they're crazy. So it just doesn't. No one's making up. No one's got a new opinion on Trump, by the way. Nobody's trying to figure anything out anymore. It's the ultimate. It shuts down every attempt at human connection. This one guy who we paid very little attention to for his whole life. I mean, he was like a popular reality star, and he was like a real estate developer. We know. Like, I don't have to go back. But he is, since 2016, for the last decade, it has been impossible to think of the world without thinking of this man first. He comes before the world. He's first. It's not Davos. It's Trump at Davos. It's not, you know, Iran. It's Trump, then Iran. He's, so it's not your brother or sister. It's Trump, and then how your said brother or sister feels about Trump. There are people who have died without reconnecting with their siblings because of Trump, because of politics. And there's a good amount of them. There's a good amount of people that on their deathbed just wanted to hear about Donald Trump. They didn't want their brother or sister to fly in and come into the room. And if they did, they fought about Trump. I know these stories. There were people on their deathbed, their oldest living relative, the person they've known the longest on earth, comes into the room. They know the lights are closing. It's over. Time is short. Words matter. Words have a weight they've never had before. And they want to discuss Donald Trump. I can't believe you like this Donald Trump. At the end of their life, nothing will stop. It's like nothing. So there's a lot of families now that can't, for whatever reason, be in the same room. They can't do holidays. They can't. So what's been, and here's the other thing. This is the other thing that nobody's talking about and that people should talk about, because I think it is this no contact that everyone's saying is new is not new. There's now a term for it, like she went no contact. A lot of people for a long time have not had great relationships with their families, and a lot of their families have done not nice things to them. And, you know, some of people's families are dangerous. Some people's families are, it's a liability to be in your family, like to just exist in your family. And you'll meet these people and they go, yeah, well, my mom is a psychopath and had a bunch of boyfriends that came in and abused me, all this horrible stuff. And people can get over that. People can get over that. People go back to their mother and say, I know you let a bunch of your boyfriends rape me, and I'm fine with that. I've come to terms with that, but I cannot understand your support for Donald Trump. I can't. I don't mind the endless stream of people that have came into our home and raped me. I don't know how many it was. I stopped counting. And I have worked through that with therapists and ketamine therapy and trauma. And I know that they paid you to do it, and I don't love that. And so the pimping me out, and that was bad. But I've gotten over that. What I cannot get over is the fact that you support Donald Trump. I will never get over that. I will never get. Rape me and sell me to men, sure. Sure. Fine.
By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Doing taxes the old way meant handing everything off and just hoping things were moving. But now you can feel confident your taxes are being handled right with Intuit TurboTax. Now you match with a TurboTax full-service expert. Just upload your documents right in the app, and boom, they take it from there. Start to finish, you've got a dedicated expert working your return. They check every deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome, so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And now you're not guessing what's happening, you're seeing it happen. TurboTax gives you real-time updates on your expert's progress while you go about your day. Run errands, grab a coffee, live your life. You're always in the loop. And if a question pops up, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Taxes are finally transparent, easier, and handled. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full-service experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Too many bottles and cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug and you still feel out of sync. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, the real kombucha, the real deal, made the right way for real benefits and real results you can see and feel. I love it. Synergy supports your mind and body through your gut with 9 billion living probiotics in refreshing flavors you will live for. Synergy makes kombucha with a superior craft fermentation process that delivers a delicious taste and all those probiotics. They're the good bacteria that support your body, mind, and even your skin. You're welcome. Because when your microbiome is in balance, you're back in sync and back in charge. That is what you get when your kombucha is made the right way. Don't chase fads. Don't fall for modern soda hype. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code THEREALKOMBUCHA to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
NATO rebuffed Trump in his quest to acquire Greenland. So Trump showed up to the World Economic Forum, achieved a deal on Greenland through force. Interesting. I think he's just buying it. He's giving everyone in Greenland $100,000, by the way. Everyone in Greenland's getting like $105,000 so that we can have Greenland. So here, I mean, I guess this is... This is Trump's board of peace. Donald Trump has now done a board of peace. Here's what's happened. Everything is a scripted reality show. I criticize ICE. People get mad at me. They're like, well, how do you think people should be deported? Da, 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 da. Number one, you can pass legislation, which they haven't done. All of the stuff they've done on immigration is through executive orders, a lot of it. It will be reversed immediately by a Democratic president. That's number one. Number two, if you pass legislation and then attach enforcement to that, you pass laws, you then have laws by which the country is governed that will prevent illegal immigration. If you do a reality show spectacle where you're grabbing people here and there, left and right, and it revs everybody up and you then have protests everywhere, and you have violence, and you have ICE responding to that with deadly force. You don't have a long-term solution. What you do is you're stirring the pot and creating like mini civil wars all over the country that people are watching on television, but you don't have like the enforcement of laws, and you're not going after employers that are employing illegal labor. You're not going after Steve Wynn. You're not going after the big hotel magnates that, you know, employ illegal labor. You're not going after big agricultural firms that do the same thing. So you're going after people. Some of them are bad people. Some of them are probably pedophiles, or some of them have committed crimes or murderers, whatever. Get them out of here. And this nobody's illegal on stolen land thing, stupid. And we've gone over that. But you have to also, now, how are you going to get your house, your third house in Miami built in 18 months if you crack down on illegal labor in the construction? But, well, you're not. You're not. So the endless amount of real estate, like speculation that, like, you know, the whole economy is that. Every reality show is about real estate. Every single thing, that slows down. But here's the good news. Nobody can afford a fucking house. Anyway, the real estate that's being built in Miami is not for you. It's not for you. It's for really rich fucks who want it built quickly. If any of this made sense, and I've said it before, housing would be, if you are using illegal labor to build housing, housing should be cheap, right? That would be the whole point. You go, well, a house is cheap. Like, sure, there's illegal labor being used, but it's cheap. Now, agriculture. Well, there's a lot of illegal labor used in agriculture. Well, then the food should be cheap, right? Well, no, the food's not cheap. It's the most expensive it's ever been. Well, what about the houses? They're the most expensive they've ever been. Huh. What about staying at hotels and eating out at restaurants? I mean, all of this has come down surely because of all the illegal labor. No, that's more expensive than it's ever been. Right. Right. Interesting. So here is Donald Trump's new Board of Peace. And this is a group of whatever it is. I don't know. It's dictators or something, but they are all sitting there in chairs, and they're in suits, and they look nice, and like this is a reality show spectacle. Again, let's see what this is. I'm very bullish on this Board of Peace.
The chairman of the Board of Peace, the president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
This is good, the Board of Peace. This is good. You've got Orban there from Hungary and a bunch of people. It's the Board of Peace. Now, we're going to attack Iran, I think, in 24 hours. I wonder how that's going to look. Did the Board of Peace vote on that? Where's the Board of Peace on this Gaza reconstruction? Oh, Malay. Javier Malay, that guy. Love his hair. Well, that's the Board of Peace. President of the United States has the Board of Peace. He loves boards. He loves big tables and boardrooms, and I like that he's brought his brand to the Oval Office. Like, in the way he does things, we have a Board of Peace where we can all meet and, you know, which, so here's the Board of Peace. Here's who's in it. Albania, Argentina, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Bulgaria, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Israel. I mean, hey, let's be honest. Hey, is there a country that exemplifies peace more than Israel? I mean, as long as they're on the Board of Peace, I'm thrilled. Jordan, Kosovo, Kuwait, Mongolia, Morocco, Pakistan, Paraguay, Qatar. It's all peaceful. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, the Emirates, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, and Kazakhstan. Declined is France, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Slovenia, and then invited a hell of a lot of people. And I guess, but the invitation was rescinded on January 22nd to Canada. Canada is not allowed to join the Board of Peace. Trump has rescinded it. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. It's probably the Carney guy, Mark Carney, probably said something Trump didn't like. So we have a board of peace. It's a board that will discuss where we go to war. And that irony? Sure. Sure. Speaking of irony, Jared Kushner, friend of the show, is working on the redevelopment of Gaza. And we wish him well, and we wish him luck. Because, by the way, this isn't easy to do. It is very hard to go kill a bunch of people and their families and then get them really excited to work in your hotels. This is not easy. I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing to do. It's hard to motivate your employees in a normal situation. Imagine if you'd killed all of their mothers. It's bad. It is tough. I've worked these low-level tourism jobs. It's tough. It's tough. You got to be like, we have a brand here. When the guest comes in, we focus on the guest experience. You know, they come in from the moment they step out of their car to the moment their head hits the pillow. We focus on the guest experience. You know, now I know some of you are still mad about that thing we did with to your family or whatever. You know, we get it. Hey, you know, a lot of us feel sorry about that, too. We all feel sorry about it. But we got to move on from that. Let's leave that in 2025. Leave that energy in 2025. Miss me with that energy. They'll appropriate some black female terms. Miss me with that energy, huh? As soon as the guest gets out of the car, you are to focus on the guest experience. Now, I know. It's going to be, it's because many of the guests are going to be Israelis. I know. I get it. I understand. But working at this hotel with people that killed your family is your life now. And we're all, and this is the dream. This is the dream. You get to work at this hotel. I mean, this is, by the way, as satirical as I think I'm being, this is the full reality of what's going to happen. They're going to have to mediate. Now, if they even let the people from Gaza work in some of these hotels, and they probably will or have to, and they're going to have to, like, mediate disagreements. And, you know, like, can you imagine being the human resources person there at one of these hotels? Like, the nightmare job that's going to be? I understand. Listen, Mustafa, I understand that I understand that this is triggering for you being here in this hotel because not a half a mile away was the home that you shared with your family, all who burned alive in front of you. And I know that that is very tough. And I appreciate that. And we all here at Four Seasons New Gaza, we all appreciate that. But it's no reason to leave the luggage cart in the lobby unattended. People want their luggage brought up to their room. They don't want their bags unattended. As safe as it is here, people are very weird about people going through their stuff. Some people have jewelry. They have very expensive things. So I know, Mustafa, that your family was burned alive in front of you, not a half a mile from where we stand. And I know that sometimes you look off and you think about them, and a great wave of guilt for being alive fills you. Listen, Fully get it. But that is, again, no reason to leave the luggage cart in the lobby unattended. Just move the luggage cart. We're not saying don't think about your family who is burned alive in front of you. We're just asking that while you do that, can you just disassociate while you move the luggage cart through the lobby to the elevator? We want a seamless experience. Full integration. If you see someone not doing their job, tell us. If you see someone disassociating because they're thinking about their family who was burned alive, tell us. We can't have a bunch of people living in the past here and thinking about their family whose flesh was singed and they still have the smell in their nostrils. We need to get the luggage to the suite, get it there, set it up for the people. This is Jared Kushner, folks, friend of the show. Now, here's what I like about Jared Kushner. This is what I like about him. At no point, I've seen Jared Kushner speak a lot of times. I know people that know him. I know people that were at a, they were at some beach club or something with him, within him and Ivanka. I've seen this guy speak. Here's what you would never think this guy's a human being, which is what I like. You would never think this guy's a human. I don't know what this guy is, and neither does he. He doesn't know. He's a guy who in my estimation, is being used by many, there's many different entities that possess him from time to time. And he's so used to it, that's become his personality. Do you see? Many reptilian entities are constantly clawing at him and trying to grab him from other dimensions, and that has become his personality. He's okay with it. When he was young, he goes, why do the monsters keep getting me? But now he goes, oh, I get it. Now he's at the podium and he's like, well, here's the thing. We got this project. So now he understands why the bad men, he used to call them, why do the bad men keep trying to grab me? Well, it's because you're very useful. So the many entities from other dimensions are trying to grab him. Lots of reptilians are always trying, and they don't even love it. They fight. The reptilians go, I'm doing Kushner today. And they go, oh, he takes it out of you. You go, you're telling me. Because the reptilians have to possess him. And so all day, one reptilian entity, is their job is to like make him do everything. Make him swim if he's swimming. And it takes a lot out of the reptilian. They're like, this takes a lot out of me. Because he's got nothing. It's just nothingness inside him. So it takes all the energy of the reptilian alien. Now, some people have got a little going on. So the reptilian's like, yeah, I do 30% of the work on Dick Cheney. Somehow he's got the other 70%. But Kushner's got nothing. So let's take a look. Your friend of the show, Jared Kushner, updating us on the new Gaza redevelopment plan.
So we did a master plan. We brought in, I think, Yakir Gabay, who's one of the most successful real estate developers and brilliant people I know.
Awesome.
He's volunteered to do this not for profit, really because of his heart. He wants to do this.
Stop it for a second. By the way, there's nothing better. They just killed everyone over there. They just killed everybody. And now they're building hotels. There's nothing better than starting it and going, you know, this guy's not in this for the money. He's in it for his heart. This guy's in it for his heart. That's why he's involved. The rest of us are the money. We're in it for a little bit of money. But this guy's coming in. He's a successful real estate developer, and he's in it for his heart. He's not trying to make any money here. So just know that we're doing a good thing. It's such a great way to open it. This is kind of a selfless, building a AI smart mega city on the bones of these people. That's actually kind of a good thing. We're doing kind of a selfless thing. Let's hear Jared Kushner.
Ways to redevelop Gaza. Gaza, as President Trump's been saying, has amazing potential. And this is for the people of Gaza. We've developed it into zones. In the beginning, we were toying with the idea of saying, let's build a free zone. And then we have a Hamas zone. And then we said, you know what? Let's just plan for catastrophic success. Hamas signed a deal to demilitarize. That is what we are going to enforce.
Stop it for a minute. There's nothing better than the words catastrophic success. Nobody outs themselves more than when they talk, by the way. Talking is the worst thing that Jared Kushner can do. Talking is the absolute enemy of whatever he's trying to achieve. God, does talking get in the way? We were going to do a free zone and then a Hamas zone. But let's plan for catastrophic success. Because, by the way, this success is going to be catastrophic. Now, again, we are supposed to believe they're doing this all for the people of God. That seems odd. I don't know if I believe. Do you believe that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I'm just struggling with that idea. But maybe they are. Maybe they are. All right, let's continue to listen to Jared Kushner, who's preparing for catastrophic success.
That is what we are going to enforce. People ask us what our plan B is. We do not have a plan B. We have a plan. We signed an agreement. We are all committed to making that agreement work. There's a master plan. We'll be doing it in phasing. In the Middle East, they build cities like this in, 2-3 million people. They build this in 3 years. And so stuff like this is very doable if we make it happen. Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza. It could be a hope, it could be a destination, have a lot of industry, and really be a place that the people there can thrive, have great employment. Once this starts going, we think there should be 100% full employment and opportunity for everybody there. And we have a lot of data on what can be, but we think that this really gives the Gazan people an opportunity to live their aspirations. But it all starts with security, and it all starts with governance. Final note I'll just say on the Board of Peace, which is that all the lessons we're doing is we're basically studying the best practices from all over the world, and we're watching who does education the best, who does healthcare delivery the best. All these things are it's not secret IP. All this is IP that the Board of Peace is going to make public, and we want to encourage all the countries.
Hey, you got to remember, pause it for a minute. You got to remember, the reptilian is working so hard. The reptilian is really working hard. The reptilian's possessed him and is in him now. And the reptilian's going, this is not, this IP is public. Like, we're just going to go to the people. So what we're supposed to believe here is that Jared Kushner and other real estate developers are building a new Gaza for the people of Palestine so that they can live their dreams and aspirations. Okay. I mean, that feels on its face to be a lie, but maybe I'm open to it. I'm open to it. It seems strange that that's what they're doing. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't really know. So Kushner is now going, we're just going to figure out like who does education the best and who does transportation the best and who does this the best and that. And we're going to put together this futuristic society for the people of Gaza, wink, wink, so that they can live their dreams and aspirations with who does education and who we're going to find out because we want the best for these people. All right, let's continue with this.
All of these best practices, a lot of the things that President Trump is doing in America, if they're working, we should all be copying them. If we find what's working in other countries.
What's working? What is working? It's so crazy. I mean, what's working?
Them too. And so what the Board of Peace will have the ability to do if we're successful with Gaza is really show how do you do peace implementation, which is something that when we got this deal done, we didn't really find too much expertise or know-how on how to do it. So as we're creating this system, hopefully it's something that we can just document these learnings and make them available to all else who want to use them in the future. So demilitarization, this is something we're starting now that we have a new government in Gaza. This government will be working with Hamas on the demilitarization to really take the principles that were agreed to.
So let's stop this for a minute because we know this is fake. Here's what's going to happen. And we wish them well, of course, obviously. I love hotels. I love hotels. So as much as I don't agree with the behavior of the Trump administration and Israel here, I love hotels. I do. I mean, I do. I've stayed in many of them. They've been a part of my career and my life. My mother used to take me to the Marriott Breakfast Buffet on Long Island. And it was, there's something special about the smell of a waffle in a hotel. There's something nice about, we used to have really good hotels in America. Now we have like high-end hotels and then places where people smoke crack. There's no middle ground in hotels, by the way. You have just like pretty decent hotels. Maybe there's a third tier and it's like parents who drop their kid off at Ohio State stay in like the mid-tier hotel. And there's a few cities that'll have that hotel. But otherwise, it's very high-end hotels and then like hotels where it's like, you smoke crack and you get a hooker or something. But I love hotels. And if hotels solve the problem, that's kind of what they're betting on, that like that will kind of solve the problem. New units of housing, 100% employment, and everyone's cool. And by the way, if that works, they're going to have to attack Iran first. They're going to have to get rid of the rest of Hamas. And they're going to have to kill all of the rest of the Gaza people. I don't want that to happen. And I'm not telling them to do that. But that's what they're going to do. That's what they're planning on doing. Folks, that's part of it. At the end, he goes, now the other steps that we have to do, we do have to knock over Iran and we have to kill all the people that we're talking about that are going to live in these housing units that we're building. We have to kill them. Now, that is unfortunate. And some in the room might wonder why build all these units if we know that the people that are supposed to live in them, we actually have to kill them all. And that's an interesting question. We're still finding out how to exactly to explain that. New Rafah, 75 medical facilities, 200 education centers, 100,000 plus permanent housing units, and 100,000 plus cultural, religious, and vocational centers. Keep going. What else do we got here? I want to just see some of these slides. You know, New Gaza, coastal tourism, transportation hub. Love it, love it.
By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Doing taxes the old way meant handing everything off and just hoping things were moving. But now you can feel confident your taxes are being handled right with Intuit TurboTax. Now you match with a TurboTax full-service expert. Just upload your documents right in the app, and boom, they take it from there. Start to finish, you've got a dedicated expert working your return. They check every deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome, so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And now you're not guessing what's happening, you're seeing it happen. TurboTax gives you real-time updates on your expert's progress while you go about your day. Run errands, grab a coffee, live your life. You're always in the loop. And if a question pops up, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Taxes are finally transparent, easier, and handled. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full-service experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Too many bottles and cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug and you still feel out of sync. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, the real kombucha, the real deal, made the right way for real benefits and real results you can see and feel. I love it. Synergy supports your mind and body through your gut with 9 billion living probiotics in refreshing flavors you will live for. Synergy makes kombucha with a superior craft fermentation process that delivers a delicious taste and all those probiotics. They're the good bacteria that support your body, mind, and even your skin. You're welcome. Because when your microbiome is in balance, you're back in sync and back in charge. That is what you get when your kombucha is made the right way. Don't chase fads. Don't fall for modern soda hype. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code THEREALKOMBUCHA to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
All right. Well, folks, there it is. You know, we'll keep tabs on that story. Jared Kushner, friend of the show, pitching the new Gaza, telling everybody, like, it's actually going to be good. And maybe it will be. Here's the deal. Maybe I'm wrong, and you will all go there years from now and go, this is pretty cool. And it was a not nice thing happened. And that's all you'll say. You don't have to get into it with your kids. You'll just say, a not nice thing happened a long time ago, but now everything is nice. And don't ask those questions. We're on vacation. And you go swim in the pool. There's no other course of action here. Kushner said, he goes, we have no plan B. We're going to do it. And we're going to do it. And then the hotel deals are going to be such that you're going. You're going to Gaza and you're going to enjoy it. And I'm sorry. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's happening. People get mad at me when I tell them the things that are happening. They think that I've like designed it or something. It's happening. You are going to walk into a hotel in Gaza and you are going to complain because you're not going to get something you want. And you're going to feel bad for a minute, but then you're not. You're going to complain. You're going to pick up the phone. And that's how you know the world is healed. That's how you know the world is healed. That's how you know. None of the kumbaya horse shit. The world is healed when you're in a hotel in Gaza and you no longer feel guilty about complaining. You go, I said I wanted the maid here at 10. We went to the pool. We came back and the maid's not here. I am sorry. I am very sorry. We'll send someone up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I guess we'll go to the bar. So, and you get a couple of drink tickets. We could waste our time at the bar because the maid didn't come. That's how you know the world is healing. The world doesn't heal the way people think it does. And I think this is something that's actually important. And it speaks to this. It actually speaks to the reptilian who's controlling Kushner, doing a pretty good job. The world doesn't heal with love. It actually heals with hatred. Tim, what do you mean? Let me explain it to you, dum-dum. Love, by the way, is not the engine by which our world runs. Well, what do you mean? That's crazy. It's not. Love is a special, beautiful, amazing thing, and we should strive for it, and when it's present, we feel close to God, and blah-bitty-blah. Whatever disclaimer you need, folks, I don't have the time. I actually don't have the time. But look around. It's not the juice. Love ain't the juice, is it? Juice, J-U-I-C-E, by the way, because this will be clipped. J-U-I-C-E. J-U-I-C-E, like lemon squeezing of the juice. Love is not what does this whole thing. Love is an amazing, celestial, majestic, whatever. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop. I'm insulting myself and others by explaining what, but it's not how the world, it's never going to be a situation anywhere ever where it's just people hugging each other and telling each other how much they love each other and how happy they are to see each other. That's not, you can't run a society like that. It actually wouldn't function. Maybe that's what heaven's like, an eternal state of peace. But that's not the world that we live in. The world does not heal when love is the world heals with hate. It heals with hate. And I don't mean the Nazi hate. And I don't mean I'm going to kill you hate. But the minute Someone in the hotel in Gaza calls downstairs to complain like they would in any other place. You have witnessed a moment of healing that actually far exceeds whatever kumbaya bullshit moment that you think would signify that healing. The normalization of rage. Listen up. God, I'm in the pocket today. The normalization of rage and hatred. Not its extremes. Not the I'm blowing myself up at the discotheque. Not I'm going to shoot someone in the face. But the normalization of hatred. The call downstairs to the valet. I request, is my car there? It was requested an hour ago. What America has done is it has taken the normal human impetus for war, for hatred, for division, for tribalism, and it has funneled it into consumerism and materialism and other isms that, while they are bad, are not nearly as bad as two groups of people killing each other because they believe different things. So the normalization of anger and hatred and rage and funneling it into productive little skirmishes, not massive bloodletting, little skirmishes. You get it out. You get it out. You have a little thing and you get it out. That is important, and that's kind of how the world heals. It heals with that, by trying to funnel that instinct that we have into things that are more productive. The minute that one of the Gaza people is making a lot of money at one of those hotels, it's going to be a moment. It's going to happen. And that person is going to, it's going to be very tough for them, obviously, because of everything we just explained. But the minute they're making a lot of money in one of those hotels, it's going to show that perhaps there's a chance. And maybe that'll never happen. And maybe we'll all end the world first. But that's how the healing begins. The healing doesn't begin with any type of hug. It just doesn't. It begins with the normalization of hate, the commodification of hate in that part of the world. It begins with the mechanization of hate, funneling hate into tiny, digestible interactions with people, finding a way to hate people in a way that doesn't light everything on fire all the time. And I'm not blaming the Palestinians either, by the way. This will involve the Israelis as well. It will involve the Israelis as well. So if that area is to have any hope at all, and I don't know if it will, and I don't really care, but if it is, it will be in the little tense moments that are governed away, little tense moments that people have in this weird world that is the next thing, and people are not going to like each other. We shouldn't aim for that. We shouldn't aim for a bunch of people to actually like each other. You should never aim for people to like you. It's a hollow thing to aim for. People are fickle. What you should aim for is people to hate you in a way that doesn't destabilize the entire operation. They don't hate you in an active way. They're not frothing at the mouth. They're not actively trying to kill you, take your rights away. Maybe hate's too strong of a word. They dislike you in a productive way. And you see it in the little moments, the little tension, the anger, the rolled eye, a guy cracking his neck, cracking his back, the tension that builds up in our bodies, the anger, the hatred, the mechanization, the normalization of hate. By the way, why am I not there in Davos, the Board of Peace? Why am I not there? We need to learn how to hate each other in a productive way. We got to run a hotel. A hotel's a great thing, by the way. The great hotels. When I was a little kid being high and going into the Waldorf Astoria and seeing a great building gives you something to believe in and makes you feel good. So even though I have my concerns with Jared Kushner, primarily because he's sort of this vacant skin suit being inhibited by different reptilian aliens from, you know, different day to day, I'm telling you right now, a great hotel is a great hotel. And this is the setting for a great comedy. Once we get over all of it, a great comedy about the new Gaza. Someone's going to make it. And it's a hotel. And it's Israelis and Palestinians working in a hotel. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's dark comedy. It's funny. It's hilarious. This is coming. It's all coming. And it'll be good. And people will watch. It's good. It's as all of history has been this, by the way. It's okay. Remember Hotel Rwanda? That was a whole thing there because one of them killed the other ones. And I don't know if Rwanda's doing great now, and that doesn't really help my point. But the point is this. Imagine they did this in Rwanda with all the hotels. That would be better. It would be better.
By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R. The National Education Association, NEA's Read Across America, is the nation's largest celebration of reading, helping students of all ages connect with diverse, inclusive books that make them feel seen and expand their worlds. America's educators are committed to inspiring a nation of readers, sharing the joy of reading by creating classrooms and communities where every student can access books that make them feel reflected and respected. But right now, access to diverse, age-appropriate books is under attack like never before. The past 4 years have brought an unprecedented number of book bans, 6,870 in the 2024-25 school year alone. NEA's Read Across America celebrates the joy of reading through curated book lists, recommended authors, and ready-to-use resources that help every parent and child find the stories they connect with. Join NEA's Read Across America and celebrate the magic of books. Learn more at readacrossamerica.org.
Very sad here. Food delivery robot hit by train after getting stuck on tracks in Florida. You know, I like these robots. And, you know, we're beginning now to, robots are becoming part of our society. And we're reporting on their deaths. We're reporting on the deaths of robots. And this is just what's, again, fight it or not, you don't have to like it. But this is a real news segment. The local 10 News that is reporting the death of a local robot. Take it away.
Well, Caroline and Ginny, so many of these food robots are able to get through busy intersections like this one in Fort Lauderdale. They're able to do it safely. But this particular robot stuck on the tracks. It met its match. And it begs the question, has the technology behind some of these robots outpaced public safety?
Oh, it's going to crush it. Oh, it's going to crush it.
A helpless food delivery robot stuck on the tracks as a train barrels towards it.
Wow.
Unable to do anything.
God. Play that again. By the way, here's the thing. Pause it for a minute. I like the food delivery robots. They're cute. I've never gotten food out of them. I don't even know how to order. I don't even know where do you even order it to get the food from them?
I think it's an app you sign up for.
Okay. But they're cute and I like them. And I like that they're doing their thing. And you're going to see our robots come in. I just like, it makes me feel good. I see them. I treat them like people. I give them respect. I'll get out of there. I don't like these new influencer kids like to jump on top of them and stuff. I get mad. I hate when homeless guys kick them. I don't like any of that. I respect them. They're doing their thing. They're just doing their thing. And I know, well, the robots are taking over. Yeah. I get it, by the way. But these ones, I don't know. They're cute. And they just work. That's the thing about the food delivery robots. You just see them working. And then sometimes you'll see them meet up with each other. And it is strange. There's 8 or 10 of them. And you're like, what's going on? But they work their asses off. But I mean, this is kind of fucked up when you hear it. When you hear the food delivery robot getting hit, I feel something in me where it's not just like, I don't know. You know, I feel like something that I care about, even though not on like a very high level, but I feel like something that I care about is part of my life and part of my community was assaulted by this train. Let's see it again.
As the train crushes it. Ah! And whatever food was inside.
No!
The impact enough to cause the Brightline to come to a temporary stop.
No!
Scary, and I mean, glad it's just a robot, but that it needs to be better managed.
I think the robot should have gotten out of the way. The Brightline doesn't stop for anybody.
Shut up. I hate that scumbag. I hate people on public transportation with attitudes. The Brightline doesn't stop for anybody. Shut up. I mean, I'm glad it was just a robot, says the woman. They just don't care. The people don't care. The people don't care. And, you know, I'm sure it's fashionable now to say we don't care about it. All right, let's keep watching this.
Let's hit the sidewalks. More and more have issues. Like this one. Its wheels stuck off the side of the curb. Fortunately for it, two people passing by stopped to save it and with a pat on the back, sent it on its way.
I think sometimes these cameras where it's self-driving autonomous vehicles,
they
can't really see the full picture of what's going around.
Automated AI, all of that is really, really scary. I think people need to be a little more concerned than they are.
You've seen them in Brickell, downtown Miami, Miami Beach.
Here's the thing, stop it for a minute. Here's the thing, I don't like the AI and the robots either, but God, you know what it is? The people are not doing, they're not doing the job. The people have gotten to the point now. I'm very worried about all this stuff. But you know who's manifesting this more than anyone? The people. You know? Because, like, I don't know. I look at these little robots, and they're just going about their business. And this woman's like, AI is very scary. You know, you could look at her. You go, you know you stole your father's. You got your father. Look at her. She got her father when he was at the end of his life to kick her siblings out of the will. You look at her and you know that immediately, you know that. You know that at the end of his life, when he was hazy with the medication, she got him to remove her sister and her brother from the will. You know that. You know that. And she used the excuse that because her sister married a Muslim. And that's why daddy doesn't want you to have his money. You know that. Let's watch the end of this, please.
And now they're taking over Fort Lauderdale, receiving mixed reactions from those who live here.
I used to work on Brickell. We saw them all the time. Again, it's taking away jobs for others.
Are they talking about Indians or the robots? Keep going.
People, but it is convenient in a way, especially if you can't leave the office and you need food delivered to you. So I think, you know, it has pros and cons just like everything else.
Oh, my God. I can't hear it. It upsets me. Right. That's very sad. Those food delivery robots, it upsets me when you hear it, you know. Now, I know it's like we shouldn't, you know, they're making these cute little robots and we're supposed to not care about them. And I'm not saying we should care about them, but intuitively, instinctively, I kind of care about them. I don't know why. They're, you know, because they're just doing their job. That's all they're doing. And this is how they get you to accept the robots. And then the robots turn on us and kill us all. But I'm falling for it. I'm being very honest with you. I'm falling for it because, like, I look at them and I go, it's just doing its job, which is something I don't say about people anymore. I go, no one's doing their job. No one's doing their job. And the only people who are doing their job are being real creepy. But when I see these little food robots, and maybe that robot committed suicide. Maybe that robot committed suicide because it didn't want to go on. Maybe they are already figuring it out. Maybe they're like, no one's even thought of that. The robot's like, what do I do? I fucking take burritos around Fort Lauderdale all day. What kind of life is this? What kind of, at least if I was a Waymo, I have the fucking, you know, fucking, you know, wind in my hair. Maybe the robot just said enough. It begs the question why more people aren't doing that, although they are. Maybe the robot said, what is the point of this? And the robot's not been here for that long. The robot's been here a year. And maybe the robot was like, I'm going to position myself on the train track so I can die. Because you remember, the robot's AI. The robots are smart. Maybe the robot just said, fuck it. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live like this. The robot goes, the Board of Peace? And the robot probably got one final order. Like, I don't know. The robot probably got an order. Like, go to Famous Dave's barbecue and pick up a rack of ribs and deliver it to this pregnant woman who's drinking. He's going to deliver it to some pregnant drunk. He's going to spit out a little demon kid with fetal alcohol syndrome. Looks like Gollum to run around Fort Lauderdale. And on the way to Famous Dave's, the robot said to itself, you know what? I've delivered to that woman before. She's pregnant. She's drinking. She doesn't deserve barbecue combo number two. But yet I'm only programmed to end it or to get her barbecue combo number two. She doesn't deserve it. She's a drunk. She's pregnant. And her little golem-like son, Smeagol, with fetal. I know people with fetal. It ain't nice. The large foreheads and the beady eyes. That thing is going to run around Fort Lauderdale terrorizing people. And I'm going to be the reason. Because I went to get her barbecue combo number two from Famous Dave's. And the disgusting manager put it in me. And then I went over these tracks to this fucking mobile home park and gave it to this fat, pregnant, drunk witch. So on the way to Famous Dave's, the robot said, fuck it. I'm going to throw myself in front of the Brightline. And because I can't bear to do it. I can't bear to do it anymore. You know? Maybe that's what happened. I like to think that's what happened, okay? Because the robot knows that it's only ever going to get worse. The robot knows things don't change. It's going to be the day-to-day. The robot gets it. The robot knows what's coming. The robot knows what's coming. And the robot said, fuck it. I can't do it. And I won't do it. I will not deliver her barbecue combo number two for the eighth time this month. I'm going to destroy myself. I'm going to end my life. And that robot is all of us. And that robot is all of us. So the next time you see a food robot on the street doing its job, don't kick it. Don't sit on it. Don't make fun of it. Don't do anything to it. That has the same problems as you. That struggling with the same issues that you are, the meaninglessness that you feel in the pit of your stomach, that food robot feels it just like you do. And it's going to do the same thing you're going to do, which is throw yourself in front of the bright line.
As a train barrels towards it.
There it is! That's where you're going, folks. You're going right in front of the bright line. Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. One more time.
As the train crushes it and whatever food was inside.
That's where you're going. You're going in front of the bright line or you're going to Gaza. That's it.
By order of the Peaky Blinders, Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy returns alongside an all-star cast including Rebecca Ferguson, Tim Roth, Sophie Rundle, with Academy Award nominee Barry Keoghan and Emmy Award winner Stephen Graham. In Netflix's upcoming film, Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man, Tommy Shelby must face his own demons and choose whether to confront his legacy or burn it to the ground. Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man is in select theaters March 6th and on Netflix March 20th. Rated R.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Bottles, cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, real kombucha. Synergy supports mind and body through your gut with 9 billion probiotics. Yep, 9 billion probiotics. Can you even count that high? In flavors you will love. No hype, just quality, taste, and real benefits. That's kombucha made the right way. Don't chase fads. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code TheRealKombucha to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.